Today is Monday, June 19, 2017, the day of the Lakeland Housing Authority regular board meeting at 6:15. Meeting is now ready to begin.
We're ready.
Okay, it's 6:15. We have a forum, so let's begin our meeting. You can join us for the pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Recognize a moment of silence. Thank you. We do have a quorum, therefore, let's present.
Thank you.
Absent are Reverend Richardson and Commissioner Saunders. First item on the agenda is approval of the meeting agenda. Not much meeting agenda tonight. We have a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
I make a motion we approve the meeting agenda as written.
Okay. I second it. Any questions, comments? Roll call.
Commissioner Penmentel.
Aye.
Commissioner Hall.
Aye.
Commissioner DeCesare.
Aye.
And Commissioner Robbins.
Aye. Sure. Okay, the agenda has been approved. We're up to item number two, approval of the minutes of the regular board meeting held May 15, 2017. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes? Okay, do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
We have a second?
I second.
Okay, roll call. Oh, wait, any questions, comments? Okay, roll call.
Commissioner Penmentel.
Aye.
Commissioner Hall.
Aye.
Commissioner DeCesare.
Present.
Commissioner Robinson.
Aye.
Okay, the minutes have been approved. We're up to item number three, public forum. Looking through the crowd, anybody out there needs to speak? Okay, item number four, new business. Any new business?
No, sir.
Okay, item number five, old business, recovery plan update.
Reverend Richardson and I were at the recovery meeting last Wednesday. We went over everything. We still have a few issues with, is it Jacksonville?
Yeah, I can give an update on that. At the time of the recovery meeting, we were still waiting on the approval for the project-based vouchers, but we did receive that on Friday, I think it was Thursday or Friday.
Okay.
And so we do have that approval. And we are still waiting on approval of the demo dispo application. That is from the psych office.
Okay.
And cautiously optimistic that we'll get that by the end of the month. And so those were the two updates regarding that. And then one other update. At the time of the meeting, we did not know the outcome of the application with the Federal Home Loan Bank. We found out Friday that we did receive the award from the Federal Home Loan Bank, $1.2 million. And so basically that helps with the gap. And so I'm thinking that the $700,000 loan would not be used on phase two as opposed to phase one, but I'll wait for the developer to officially request that.
Okay.
And another update since the meeting. We scheduled a design charrette. Have you looked at those pictures? It's a four. It's probably right by the desk. I think it's four. Going to do a design charrette with the residents in phase one on June 28th, that's a Wednesday, at 6 p.m. And you're welcome to attend. It's a public meeting.
Okay.
And
you said it's 10 a.m.?
6 p.m.
Oh,
p.m.
6 p.m., okay.
What's the date on that?
Wednesday, June 28th. And if inquiring minds can't wait until then. Okay. This is floor plans here for the senior building, first floor here, third floor, second floor, okay. And this is the front elevation of the building. You can see is three stories.
Right. That's facing the lake here?
No. Not at all, sir. That is, okay, this is phase one. And I'm going to turn it so y'all are, okay. We are here. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is the lake right here. Okay. And phase one is down here at the back of the property. Okay. This is like a retention pond and the like. And this is phase two. Okay. This is 100 units. I think this is 134 units, traditional multifamily. Okay. And this is going to be around 80 units again, traditional multifamily. Okay, so we have around 310, so you got replaced.
Is that like doubling what we have now?
Tripling.
Okay.
Yeah, almost, not quite. But, we've got 120 there now, going to about 320.
But not as modern as we have now.
One important change, you said you would be tripling?
Almost.
On the same land space.
Yeah, because we got to remember what's out there is single story.
Three stories.
So these are going to be three stories, okay? That's how you get to. So you really have people on top of people, but there'll be walls in between.
So it'll be sort of like Washington Renaissance.
I'm sorry?
It'll be like Washington Renaissance.
We hope to do better than that.
Hopefully.
All right. So,
with walls between them.
There you go. Yeah. And this is
he's got these on point.
Okay, I'm sorry. Here is phase one. This is the senior building. Okay. Got the little entrance here, you know, the community room. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's portiere, the French word, that's why I couldn't read it upside down. and it'll be three stories, basically the same on each story. And a little area there for the seniors and all of that. And I misspoke earlier. This is actually phase two.
Okay.
The multifamily.
Okay.
Don't have the elevation of that yet, but, one, two, three bedroom units. Okay. The senior will be ones and twos. And then also we're looking at naming the property. So there's still time if you want to do like Robinson Estates or whatever. You know, it's still.
Are we going to vote on that? All in favor?
Yeah. So. But I think everyone will be, pleased as you know, we have the 4% bonds on phase one and phase two. And the demo, this application, we applied for a demolition approval for the whole entire site, although we're still going to do it in phases because this was just for phase one, and then next year we'll do a dispo application for phase two, and probably a dispo application for phase three. And so that was we're still continuing with the schedule that which we had discussed.
Now, this landscape, that is phase one, the one that showed the front view?
The elevation.
Elevation.
Yeah, that's a senior building. I don't have one for phase two.
Oh, no. Okay, but that is, okay. I thought it said, all right. So, that's pretty. That looks very nice.
Yeah.
That looks very good.
How long will it take them after demolition to from?
I'm going to estimate probably like 18 months or so, for the first phase. But they will start phase two before they finish phase one.
Yeah, right. Okay. Have you ever thought about doing sponsors, like maybe Gilmore Saxton? We can name the building. That's sort of like RP funding over there.
Great idea. If we do sponsor,
you're right. They have to change the name to Gilmore Saxton. You're right.
They did do it. Like I said, don't let them give us street too.
That's it.
You just throw that in too.
Yeah. Well, then I'm sure that it soon you'd have Barnett and Jenkins.
Somewhere. Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. They're into a lot of community stuff like that.
Well, that's what we'll be sharing with the residents over there.
As far as relocation, how is it going?
That's the problem with Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. The relocation plan has been written and submitted to Jacksonville. Just waiting for them to say something. But basically, we have to wait until technically until the demo dispo application is approved.
Okay.
And then hopefully sometime after that they'll approve it. But once the demo dispo application is approved, residents can do what's called a voluntary move, mm-hmm. where they will then be reimbursed once the relocation plan is approved. Mm-hmm. And we have applied for Section 8 vouchers for all the families that are there in phase one. And we'll do the same thing with the subsequent phases. Only thing is that with the Jacksonville office, it's a matter of hurry up and wait.
Yeah.
Because they're understaffed and under-knowledged.
Is that all?
I was speaking Swahili, wasn't it? Yeah, but they're understaffed. And so that means that there are going to be delays with all the pools that have to come out of Jacksonville. But we do have a our HUD consultant, Karen Kate O'Turner, who has been working behind the scenes, just doing an outstanding job. She is very instrumental in working with the SAC office as well as the Jacksonville office, because got approval in about 88 days as opposed to 88 months. So she's in a well worth of money.
How about the, what was it? I know we were in Miami and then we switched to Jacksonville. Was there something they were still handing a little, or traded? Or?
The Hope 6.
Okay, I knew there was something that was still attached.
And,
okay.
And, but the RHF is still being handled by Jacksonville, at the Valley.
All of Williamstown will be handled by Miami.
Okay. We'll move on.
Well, no.
I just remember there was something.
We'll move on.
We'll
move on.
That Hope 6, is that
Hope 6? They had to approve the first draw.
Okay, I knew there was something that there was still a little bit of Miami involved or whatever, but I remember they, in the draft picks, they pulled us.
I know, right? Yeah.
And the Hope 6 money is being used over there?
Okay, I thought that.
That is bound to.
Exactly.
And we hope this time next year you won't have to say the word Hope 6 monies again.
Yeah. It's going to be great. Really great.
Believe me, right?
I hope so. Well, that is nice. That is nice.
Yeah, that's a very good number. Man.
So,
it's nice.
Anything else with the hall? I was going to add a couple other things.
I think that covers pretty much everything that we talked about. Well, there was
two other things we talked about.
Yeah, there was a couple others.
Yeah.
I love you.
Okay. One was we were thinking of bringing on another HUD consultant, doing different things for the current HUD consultant. This will be a 6-month contract that I will bring on the Sacks of Gilmore. And this particular consultant will be assisting with development and identifying funds to help fund development. He'll be talking with the city, the county, the state, as well as Congressman Ross' office, senators, about some additional funds that could come to the Lakeland Housing Authority to assist with development, whether it's CDBG, state home, CHIP, or whatever. So I don't think he can call the president, but he can call other people. And then also, one other thing when y'all were doing the kind of you wanted to know, you gave approval for a vehicle, but you wanted to come back with like how we would pay for it. And what we're going to do is that sell my current vehicle to the properties There's a Blue Book Vibe between $9,000 and $11,000, and then we'll purchase a vehicle, apply that towards the purchase of a vehicle with the state contract, you know, so around $20,000. It'll be come out to about $450 per month. It'll be paid by the province, which will be pretty easy to do. Same vehicle, same type of vehicle.
Same Ford Explorer.
Yes, sir. Good cars, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I love it. They have like 65 of them.
Yeah, but that way, you know, the we get the use of, you know, both vehicles.
Yeah, because our attorney was suggesting a Ferrari. That's me.
I got doesn't have a lot of miles on it.
That part of that donation they're going to make, right?
Move right along. But like you said, that's not fine. Huh? Oh, you, sir.
And that was discussed with the committee as well. Anything else you all? Well, Mr. Hall, anything else?
I don't know if you shared with everybody what you shared with us earlier about.
Oh, well, yeah. For those of you who don't know, Commissioner Perry resigned. She took another position within her company, but that new position required her to relocate to Marietta, Georgia. Because she was saying that her experience here on the board caused her to want to do more. And with the government side, and there was a position, you know, within the county where she could work directly with government entities. But the position required her to relocate to Marietta. And so that's where she went. She took the money and ran.
Which is a good thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wasn't fired.
No, I spoke to
the man of jokes tonight.
That's all. Otherwise, we had a very nice meeting. Oh,
there's more.
And Congressman Ross was not at the baseball game. I sent him a text, and he replied that he wasn't at the game, but he did. Mm-hmm. Not at the practice, but he was at the game. Yeah, she might have saw on Facebook. Somebody was in the line of fire.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Any questions, comments? Okay. Then we're up to item number 6, Secretary's Report.
Submitted written with one exception.
Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to point out something in the Secretary's Report. With the home ownership program, there's three families that is paying either $10 or less per month in rent, and we do not feel that, well, we feel that anyone who is paying less than $400 a month, you're not ready to become a homeowner.
Oh, yeah.
And right. And the guidelines of the home ownership program require to give them 2 years to purchase the home. They each have had about 4. And so we gave them notices that their lease will not be renewed. They have until July 31st, 2017 to vacate the premises. Or we'll, you know, have them removed. And then we'll replace them with some other families who can adequately purchase the properties, I mean the homes. Because we had one lender who was willing to basically work with them, you know, and all that, and we've had the counselors that have been working with them, all that. But if you're not working, you can't buy a house. True. And one person, you know, he lost a job, now he's working part-time, now they're paying $10, but
wow,
that's not going to help you to become a homeowner.
Yeah. No. So, yeah. Contradicts the program itself.
Right.
And they, you know, it seems like they've been given more than, you know, given 4 to 5 years. That's plenty of time to try to prepare themselves. I mean, that's just my view on it. But
we're in agreement with that.
How about the condition of the homes? Are they?
Well, you know, because we are having to maintain them.
Oh, so we're still maintaining. Okay.
Yeah, technically they're still public housing units.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we haven't trashed them too bad or anything. So that's good. Mm-hmm. So it might make them still marketable.
Now then we're up to the next item, housing and operations.
So meet a week.
Any questions, comments? Next item, administration.
Okay. With the central office cost center financials, right now you see that we have a NOI for the period of $16,000 and $61,818 for year to date. As always, I like to caution with COCC, we're still in audit. And if you look at the youth bill financials, we still have that situation with the $76,000 that has to be transferred to youth bill from prior grants. Our auditor will be out here tomorrow to start going through our documentation and what we have prepared. So between now and when we get audited FDS, it'll be solidified exactly whether or not all or a portion of that money is owed from central office cost center to youth bill or a combination of COCC and public housing. So even though it's great news that we do have NOI $61,818, we still have to reserve that and keep that in COCC until we get the all the reconciliations completed and approved by the auditor for 2016 audited financials. And then if you look on the balance sheet, you see as far as cash, we have $69,002. And cash for a central office cost center, which is not the exact amount as was shown on the cash statement, which just tells me there were a couple of checks that hadn't cleared, payments that hadn't cleared at the time that we pulled the cash report, but they're consistent. So the cash is there to transfer the other grant monies to Youthville if 100% of it or a portion of it has to come from COCC. Then the next item are the financial statements for Section 8 admin and Section 8 HAP. Of course, we have a negative NOI for both the period and year to date for both administration and HAP. There are two items that the Section 8 team has been trying to do in order to make sure that we don't become in a situation of needing shortfall funding. One, they sent an application for shortfall funding to Jacksonville HUD's field, HUD's Jacksonville field office, which we know is under review because we did receive written notification from Jacksonville that they were reviewing it. But also, we asked for more administration fees from the HUD headquarters office to ensure that we manage the program and don't go into shortfall. There was an opportunity to ask for more funds, and the Section 8 team did submit the documentation with justification for giving us funding, and we just have to wait and see if we're going to get the additional funding. When you look at the cash for Section 8, they should have total cash of $319,000, which is consistent with the cash report. Public housing, AMP 1. It had a negative NOI before depreciation for the period, but the NOI is positive of $43,000 for year-to-date before depreciation. And again, that's a positive sign because of the fact of the joint bank accounts that existed that got segregated last year between COCC and Youth Bill. Those programs shared a bank account, the deposits were actually going into the public housing master. Now, it took a while, but the Department of Labor in probably November of 2016 recognized that we had submitted requests to have the money deposited directly in the youth bills account, which is why we still have to go through all of the reconciliations before finalizing the 2016 audit and have the auditor look at it. So the two programs that could potentially have to pay that $76,000 that is owed to Youth Bill has the cash in the account to pay it, and we're making sure that we keep that cash available until the auditor finishes reviewing our books and concurs with us of which entity should be funding that $76,000 so that their account is square. As far as the balance sheet, they're showing $2.8 million in cash for public housing, which is a reflection of the fact that we still got to transfer the money for Williamstown into a Williamstown account. And also the money that was going to be used for Westlake Phase 2 is also a part of that $2.8 million, which will be restricted cash. But again, that's an item before we actually restrict it and or do a transfer. Since we have the auditors, we're going through the paperwork, making sure that they're clear that this is not a loan. It is an actual transfer, and that we have the HUD approval letter from March 31st, 2017. To support that transfer. And then after we do the transfer, you won't see that amount of cash in public housing. Well, the $700,000 that was set aside for Westlake 1 will be there, but it'll be restricted. But the $1,000,001 that's associated with Williamstown actually be an account called Williamstown, which unfortunately for me means we'll have 11 sets of finances instead of 10. Dakota Park, it has a negative NOI for the period of $5,856 for year to date. Again, when you look at the actual income statement and you look at the rents, you see that rent collection is actually between 5.5% to almost 6% higher than what we budgeted. So the manager is doing her job and ensuring that she's collecting rents. Also, when you look at the different events that she's had, she's been doing fundraising to collect. The problem is the problem that we've always had with Dakota Park, and that is you only have 40 units, and it's difficult to make a project that is not at least 50 units difficult to cash flow. And so HUD did give us additional subsidy in June, which is more than what they gave us in May, but it's not making it where we have a positive NOI for the year to date. And then when you look at the cash, they should have $41,005, and that's exactly what they have. The cash flow statement in the balance sheet actually matches for what they have. Renaissance is positive NOI, $64,000 for year to date before depreciation. Their NOI for the period is also positive. There's really nothing unusual to mention about Renaissance. The cash statement shows $1.2 million in cash, which is exactly what is showing in the cash statement. Both Dakota and Renaissance are properties that we're having to look at for exit strategy. Baker Tilly, who is the financial advisor that was assigned a task order to do that task, has just started sending information. We got some information on Friday that we'll have to go through. He does have some additional questions, but at least we're moving forward and we'll be able to give you some feedback soon on the recommendations that Baker Tilly is recommending as far as our exit strategy for Dakota Park and Renaissance. Colton Meadow, like Renaissance, has a positive NOI for the period, $3,336, and for year-to-date, $30,257. There's nothing extraordinary happening with Colton Meadows. The rent collections are as anticipated. The expenses are pretty much what we expected. When you look at the balance sheet and compare it to the cash statement, there should be $672,000 in cash, and there's like a $200 difference, which is probably outstanding check. Bonnet Shores, it has a positive NOI for the period and year to date. Also, there's nothing really extraordinary that we need to report that's happening with the expenses. The cash is $796,000 according to the balance sheet, and that's consistent with the cash flow statement. West Bartow, positive NOI, $6,580 for the period, $39,930 for the year to date. Again, when I look at the expenses, I don't see anything that would cause us to need to do additional reporting. The actual collection of rents is consistent with the budget also, as with the other three properties, well, actually other four properties. Cash should be $511,000, which is consistent with what the cash flow statement is outlining. Hampton Hills, the AMP that we expected to be horrible because we didn't anticipate getting any funding. We got funding in May. We got twice the funding, $2,000 for the month for June. So it actually has a positive cash flow of $358. And then for the year, $4,806. Because of the additional subsidy that we received from HUD. And then when you look at the cash, the total cash is $238,000, which is consistent with the cash statement, and that cash is due to, of course, to the sales of the houses that we have. And then youth bill, it has a negative NOI for the period of $412, and for year to date, $16,533. But again, if you look at the actual balance sheet, you see that $76,000 that I keep talking about that's going to have to be transferred by either COCC, public housing, or a combination of the two. So that is the reason why, even though they got funds from other grants, is not reflective, and you see a negative cash flow. DOL is a reimbursable grant, and of course I continue to have the information shown on the financial statements until the transfer actually happens to let you know I know that it has to occur. And then you should all have grant report, and there should be three items highlighted in your grant report. The first two items reflect the second increment 2009 RHF funds. Those funds have to be expended by July 29th of this year. If they're not expended, they will be recaptured. You will see the first draw request that we submitted for Williamstown fully expended those funds. And then you have another $55,000 that was in the RHF 2010 grant that was highlighted. Not that the deadline was this year, but it lets you know that for the replacement housing factor funds that would have been in jeopardy this year if we hadn't closed and got construction started and the funds expended, that money was expended, so you don't have to worry about that being recaptured. We did many extensions for the obligation deadline, but by statute, you cannot receive an extension on expenditures, so it's very important that we make schedule, that we get the work in place, get the money expended. The next one that you'll see that'll be really pressing, that's a big dollar amount, is to see expenditures on the Hope 6 grant, because the expenditure end date is the same as the obligation end date, which is December 31st, 2017. And to make a clarification of what I said with Williamstown, because it dawned on me as I'm giving this report what you were saying. Miami is managing Williamstown, but RHF is under Jacksonville because we report to Jacksonville. But Miami's approving all the draws, and they're giving written notification to Jacksonville when they're okay to pay. And all the Hope 6, Miami can just approve outright, but when it comes to RHF, they will send Jacksonville written notification it's okay to approve. And the last item that I will bring up as far as the administration report is that Youth Bill's 10-year anniversary, it was this year. This year we're celebrating. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Unless there are any questions.
Yeah, I have one.
Okay.
The money, the $76,000 that's in the other account that belongs to Youth Bill, mm-hmm. if that money is not used, would it be returned?
Yeah, they...
But we're going to use it. Yeah, it will be returned if we don't recapture the technical term, if we don't use it. Mm-hmm. We won't be allowed to, like I said, like, to make donations to other people, but no, we have to use it.
Donation.
Yeah.
Okay. So, therefore, we have to use it. So, therefore, the auditors would approve it before they're going to recapture it, apparently.
Well, the recapture that we're concerned about right now is related to HUD funds because we had old money. The item with Youth Bill, those grants are fairly new. The 2014 is nearing completion. So we have to do oversight. So we, by the end of this year, we have to spend up all the youth bill funds. But as far as the grants that we get from third parties like Publix and GiveWell and Travelers, as part of their grant, they actually tell us, we tell them, they tell us what the allowable uses are of the funds, and we tell them we're asking for this money to do specific things. And so they're...
Yeah, it's the car.
Oh, okay.
The car that's out there.
Oh, okay. I just saw the smoke. Sorry about that.
Yeah, they have an engine trouble.
Oh, okay.
That's what I got over when I looked at.
Oh, okay.
Collins went out and looked at, too.
No problem. We just...
It's not what our car is.
I just thought Mr. Gilmore was on the smoke about the same time.
I thought it was something that covered the speed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a terrorist attack.
That was a Range Rover out there.
Range Rover on fire.
Oh.
Is that right?
The one you just got back, right? But I know I said it, you know, humorously, but like with Hope 6, those unexpended funds, they were allowed to set up, you know, like scholarships and the like for community-based organizations and stuff. And so even though I said that jokingly, you know, it was something, but we, that won't be an option with you because we're going to spend it.
Well, you see my question, if we're going to spend it to stop them from recapturing it, but we can't spend it because it had the accountants had right to be put in their account. Would they have finished their accounting to release it and put in the youth bill account so the youth bill can spend it before it's going to be?
Oh yeah, what's happening? Youth bill is still spending.
That's $76,000.
Yeah, but what'll happen is it's in the background. Is you'll see an interfund that'll be created, but it doesn't get pulled into the financial because that $76,000 hadn't been transferred. So they're still spending the money. And I still do reports to prove that the money's being expended. The question is the amount owed by youth bill truly owed because we're holding their $76,000? But I can't just do a transfer to transfer it out. The problem is because those bank accounts were together.
I understand that.
And so you have to actually have documentation for the auditor to feel comfortable, but I can't stop spending.
Okay.
Yeah, so those are things that happens in the background. I could actually clear that. That's why I was saying I'm leaving it to report for you because I know I hadn't done a transfer. Technically, I could take the interfunds owed by youth bill and what's shown in the cash and negate them, but I want to have a clean.
Okay.
This is the money that should be transferred, and it gets transferred, and then youth bill cut a check to the other account of what was the interfund, and then it'll just, it's cleaner than doing the interfunds because it's happening with accountants in the background with journal entries. That usually make auditors a little nervous. And they see clean, okay, the accounts were together, and this money was sitting in the joint account between COCC and youth bill. The new account was open, but COCC never cut a check in the amount of X that covered all the grants that hadn't been expended yet. That's clean. Then to do it in interfunds. For so many years, we have done it in interfunds, and I don't want to, what happened is it keep rolling. I want a clean break. It's been looked at by our CPA that assists us on a daily basis, which is IFA, and then the auditor concurred with the transfer, and so we transferred it. And then youth bill will pay whatever back, and it's clean, and then you don't have to worry about it rearing its ugly head in a future audit if someone else was to come in and start doing the finances. But technically, yes, because they're still spending, I could drop that number down or clear it out, but I'm not doing that because you know the accounts were joined, and I don't want you to think that we just decided to spend the money and never pay youth bill back or anything like that. I want it to be clean. Transparency.
Makes sense.
A question, Dakota Park, is it currently two or three stories?
Two stories.
So in the future, if we wanted to do something at that location, there could be a possibility of adding a third floor.
Well,
we can redo rehab, yeah, that's a possibility, but it would take funding to do that. because when we look, we're currently planning exit strategy with, is it Baker Tilly?
Yes.
Baker Tilly. And so that's one thing that we're going to look at is that do we want to reinvest in that, i.e. go out to see another tax credit allocation to do some rehab work there and the like. But traditionally, you don't add a third story to a two-story building because that's cost prohibitive. It's probably better to just tear it down and build new. But we'll look at all of that.
Just thinking about it when you were mentioning about that it's...
Yeah, there is space to put another building. That was floated out before, but you have to think about quality of life. And sometimes if you can get the funding, when you demolish and build new, it's a whole new building, whole new look. Like right now, that same building, layout and everything, is at Magnolia Park. With the team, the executive team did back in during the whole six, was they actually put some arches and modified Magnolia to make it look different, which is why people don't think it looks like Dakota Park, even though it's the same buildings. But over time, we know internally that there are some issues with doing that, so that's why we said we don't necessarily want to try to rehab that structure because it caused other problems that probably didn't happen maybe in the first 5 years, but then when you start getting to year 6 or 7, 12, you have other problems. So we will prefer to either demolish in the entirety or take some of the green space that's there and add another building to give you the units to get you to the density.
Okay.
That easily cash flows.
Okay.
And I would have 50 units at Williamstown, but the tree huggers took my units.
Okay. Any other questions? Comments? Are you done?
Yes.
You know what? We should sell airspace. You know, in New York, that's the real estate. You sell air. So you have a building and you sell the air above it. And that's very profitable. Maybe we need to start selling airspace. They do make a lot of money with it.
Two different places, though. I don't think people are here like they do.
Going back, you can land a helicopter over Dakota.
No, and I know we can't do it here. What airspace is that if there's a building that has six stories on it, someone will buy the space above it and build a building right on top of it. The space above it, they build. They're selling air. Can you imagine that? They're selling air.
I did go to that place in Metairie in New Orleans where they sold air, bottled air.
A little restaurant.
They had a little place where you could go in the little VIP room, a little fire where you could buy your air, oxygen.
Was that youth girl that had that employment youth fair last weekend? Was that Jeff?
No, I think that was FSS. Ross. Yeah. Ross. FSS. UPIL is this weekend.
Well, I know that we have. We're about to start another cycle.
Yeah.
So I know we're going through that process, but I have to.
Yeah. So, are they still around?
Then we're up to, we have no resolutions, right?
No, sir.
Then we're up to item number 7, legal report.
Just three things, commissioners, in keeping with my plan to have a shorter report than administration. Number one, an offshoot to what you're talking about, normally you need a bit of a higher building is something that some of the housing authorities already done. Tampa's done it. And that is to sell the space on top of your building for antenna use.
Oh, yeah.
We that's selling that you actually rent.
Right.
You
got that over here.
You already got that?
Yeah.
Over here? So that's one way.
We do rent also.
We could sell it to your company and name the antenna after you. this was going to be for Commissioner Perry's benefit, but she's not here anymore, and that is that mainly because of the Tarpon Springs Housing Authority has four new commissioners. I'm having a training in my office on June 30th. Role of commissioner, government of the Sunshine Public Records, that whole series. Limited seating, I was going to say she had never been the one, but I'll just throw that out if there's an interest.
Did you go to that yet? Have you been to those?
I went to one of them, but I didn't go to, I like to go to one that says, when we get a report that says submit as written, I like to know what should be in these reports, what should be in the secretary's report, what, unless this is what should be in here.
That's up to you all.
Yeah, that's not a standard.
That's what I'm saying. If they say submit as written, what should be in the report? What should be actually
there? A lot of it you can ask for. I mean, I know when I originally started, the reports were a lot different than they are now to a point on some of the financials. But, I mean, that's just as things changed and not needed. And, you know, it just depends. I mean, that's my view on it. I may be wrong. You can't ask for it, and they usually get it for you if you ask them for it.
Is there something in the sector report that you want to see?
No. It's perfect. It's just that I don't know what to ask for if I don't know what should be in here.
It varies from authority to authority. I think that what Commissioner DeCesare said is true, and also Ben, you're the board. What you'd like to see, you should ask for. Mm-hmm. Of course, now that you said it, I guess I got to put in a section on that now. But that's normally not what I'm going to be covering, but I'm just throwing that out. Mm-hmm. Finally, if any of you were looking for the sun the past few days, you couldn't find it. That's the end of my report.
And we paid for that?
That was a throw-in.
Okay, we'll be all right.
I'm following up on what he just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Lorenzo Robinson mentioned. Would it be beneficial for us at some point to go to other housing authority commissioner meetings to see what they do versus what we do to get an idea of any new ideas?
That's a loaded question. It could be beneficial, but every authority kind of functions the way that that authority needs it to function, what the commissioners require. There's really not a standard, in my opinion. I represent a lot of authorities, and mm-hmm. they're all a little different in what and how they function. Commissioner, if you were interested in what normally goes in a secretary report, I don't think you have to go to another authority's meeting or a training to find that out. If you want to see what in other board packages, that may give you an idea. But I can tell you now, they're all different. The information is all different. There's always going to be financials. There's always going to be a report by the executive director as to what's going on. But what's going on at every authority is different. Mm-hmm. So the information is different.
I picked that up when I was going to that convention and just networking with some of the other commissioners. And mm-hmm. you hear them talk, and you can tell how different ones function. Some are very authoritative. Mm-hmm. Some are more laid back. Some are in between. And, some of them, they wear that crown. They're a commissioner. They think they got some power, and not meaning you don't, but I'm just saying it. It's just amazing when you sit around and talk to some of those, and I do think he's exactly right. That think they may not be all exactly the same by any means.
And just to give a little backup, since Commissioner Pimentel didn't want to pay for the sunshine comment, I was at a board meeting earlier at another authority recently. At another authority that's a smaller authority and have not had any training recently. And one of the commissioners, when I was there to give a report, because I'm not usually there, and he wasn't the chair or anything, he basically made a comment, and it just shows how different the meetings go. had a very short agenda. I was there to report on a specific thing, and I was quoting something that the OIG had said, because they had been visited many years ago by the OIG, and he wanted to know what's the result, why nothing happened, that kind of thing. So I contacted the OIG, and basically the OIG said they couldn't find anything criminal, or they couldn't find anything that required action by them. They reported on to HUD what they found. They did say something that could be derogatory about the then executive director. So in my report, I edited that, because A, I don't want to be on record repeating something that OIG said that's not flattering. Number two, they were talking to me, not on the record. So this commissioner was doing something with his phone, and I said, Commissioner, I'm going to now talk about what the OIG said, and it would be beneficial if you were looking at me. Now, the reason why I said that is because I was going to say that HUD said that their findings were that that administrator was grossly inexperienced. Now, they used another word, but I wanted him to see the air quotes, because that doesn't get on the tape. So he looked up and said, don't you ever tell me to look at you when you're giving a report, and you're not my boss, and I don't have to look at you if I don't want to. And I'm,
wow.
And I know you may disagree with this. I normally have a certain bit of charm on occasion. It was like, okay, that didn't work. So then I said, well, then I'll continue with my report then. And he said, well, you do that. So it was got a little contentious, so I went ahead with what I had to say. And then after the meeting, I apologized. I said, I wasn't trying to call you out, commissioners. I wanted you to see the air quotes, because I'm not going to say exactly what OIG said. And then he was like, oh, I got it. I'm sorry. I kind of flew off the handle, that kind of thing. But the only reason I say that is, if you go to other meetings to see how it should work, a lot of things go on that I wouldn't necessarily say is normal or the norm or what you want to adopt. That's just one example. So I left the meeting. I had less posterior than I had when I walked in the meeting. But again, rather than fight on the record, I went to him afterwards and said, this is what I was trying to make sure you got. So just an example.
Yeah, we went to the one down in Delray Beach or wherever. I mean, those guys, and they're in it. Down there. I mean, it was, every commissioner got iPads. They had dinners at every meeting.
Yeah.
They had all this kind of stuff. I mean, the meetings were completely, the one I listened to was completely different than we conducted. I was very new at the time. But I think they do widely vary.
Listen
to the iPad thing.
No, I'm serious. I'm serious.
Every health authority had to report to St. Pete, Pinellas County, Baltimore Housing, and I believe they're all different. And some are formal, some are kind of informal. Some health authority, they don't allow anybody to speak other than the ED. Yeah. So it's all differs.
They're pretty laid back in that one.
They
had buffet out there.
More than just
everybody wants suits, including the commissioners.
That went out the window. That went out the window. But I will say that the iPad thing has become more prevalent. You don't have to go that far where iPads are provided for the commissioners, but it has to do with budget. And you don't have to go too far. This is not a hint drop, but where at night meetings, they do serve a full course dinner.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things I had to caution them on is, because I won't call the authority, since we're kind of laid back, this is your money for not for the Sunshine County. they would put the food in a back room and tell the commissioners, you can go back there and get your food, but they didn't want to let anybody else go back there. But the problem is the commissioners kept, the theory was you come early and have some food, and then you come to the meeting. Well, the problem is that the commissioners got there later and later, and they would dish out their food and bring it into the meeting and eating while the meeting was going on. So when I suggested that, A, was not good practice, I also said, and if you're going to do that, then you can't segregate the food.
Yeah.
You have to make the food available to the public.
Mm-hmm.
So that went out the window when one of the residents came with her bag
to go back.
Some aluminum shield.
Well, that one they did have at a table in the room. And I'm not meaning, I'm just saying, but it just, the way they conducted a meeting was completely different than we conducted a meeting. And that's.
But we did once, I remember at least one time we had food.
Yeah, you had like pizza and stuff out. Later. Yeah.
That's right.
And, but
a big pizza.
The audience. Got the food before the commissioners did.
Yeah. And I wasn't asking to have food here. I just was saying it was just a completely different setting. I mean, that meeting.
Yeah. Well, at least we do have water.
Oh, that's
a star. See,
sometimes you make the point that it's not cold. But on the record, saying the water wasn't cold.
The water is not
cold. Yeah. Some water.
Commissioner Robinson, just to add, to try, because I wanted to.
It's cold.
I wanted to piggyback also on something that Commissioner DeCesare said, because you talked about the financials. Used to have a lot more stuff, and we've streamlined it based on need. If you go to your youth bill report, your balance sheet, something I probably should have pointed out, but if you flip to it. When I talk about the $76,000, and you see cash in PHA Master's account, et cetera, if you look in liabilities, there's a due to Central Office Cost Center of $75,000.
Mm-hmm.
When you negate that out, it's $1,400 and some odd dollars. But because the transfer didn't happen when it happened, is why I'm asking for extra scrutiny. Now, I could have given you all the paperwork for that, but on the financial statement, if you look at the assets as well as the liabilities, you see I am tracking it, and if the auditor agree, then you really don't have to have that much of a transfer. It's $1,400 versus $76, which triggers that I'm still spending money, so we meet expenditure deadlines and not putting it in jeopardy. But of course, because I always get accused of my reports being too long, I try to give you the highlights instead of going into the detail. But I'm sure if you decide to go to Mr. Gilmore's.
No, and that's what we all do.
No, it's your point. I appreciate
Because the quote submitted as written, our quote, you know, it's because, you know, we write up the report and we go under the assumption that you all preview the stuff.
Right.
And then if you have questions, but if there's something like tonight that's in the report that we want to point out to you all, then I bring that to your attention. Because as you said, you know, it's typically usually the same old thing, just updates. And then also, too, the recovery plan update. You know, it's a lot of it just same thing that's in the secretary's report. So you get more detail during the recovery plan update, and so I don't want to bore you all by, you know, repeating it. And so, and that's what that is.
And she got the bullet points and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And, Mr. Chair, if I could point out that last part that Valerie talked about was not part of my report time. That was a continuation of her report. But on a positive note, one of the things I want you to note about your legal report, it's better, being honest with you, if I don't have a legal report, because many places where I go, I'm reporting on litigation and other negative factors. You don't have that here. So less of a legal report, in my opinion, is usually better.
Is it cheaper?
No. It actually costs more to have a nothing in the legal report, because we're working harder behind the scenes to make sure it's not in here.
Yes, sir.
And I'm just
think I finished.
Yes, sir.
Well, I was just going to piggyback on something that was sort of starting their conversation. I'm not adding something that I didn't put on the agenda, so I want to make sure I'm following the rules. He talked about commissioner training and things like that.
One thing I did learn is that they have mentors at NARO and FARO that you can contact your office, and they can put you in contact with mentors who will help new commissioners or even old commissions understand their obligation as a commissioner and how they should help do their job more efficiently. I just brought that up because they had brought that up at the last conference I went to, and it may help you if you want to contact them just for resource purposes.
Okay.
Your clock stops. No problem. No.
You got one more thing.
One more. Next item, other business, LHA Youth Bill 10-year celebration.
Okay. Before we do that one, I just want to point out that you'll do a copy of the approval letter in your packet under other business, the approval letter for the project vouchers. Okay.
That's
and with the Youth Bill 10-year celebration, it falls on the same date and time as the July board meeting. That was the only date and time that the program, the national program director, whatever his title is, could be here in Lakeland. And so you all need to decide.
Tell them too bad.
You all need to decide how you want to handle that, i.e., do you want to hold a board meeting at a regular date and time? Do you want to reschedule the board meeting for like a week? Or do you want this meeting here to count as your board meeting? Or some other options, whatever you all can think of. Again, it's out there for you all to decide.
I tend to think that what a possibility is, if for July, if we don't have any important information, any resolutions or anything like that, maybe we can just forego the meeting and do the celebration. Have a tentative date for, you know, replacement in the event that there are things that come up.
Yeah, because we'll still do the board report and send it out, you know, on a regular scheduled time and everything. And so, I think the date is the 17th. So if you all want to move the board meeting to the 24th to have a tentative, you know, in case there's something that needs to be, somebody that needs to be taken, or, you know, you gotta tell me what your pleasure is. All speak at once.
I don't have my calendar for my
I won't be in town anyways because I'll be in Ecuador. So
you're voting for the 24th as a tentative date?
That's right. I make a motion. We move it to the 24th as a tentative date.
And I'd say we should move it to the 24th if business needs, if there's something that requires our having a report meeting.
But did you actually make a motion?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Yeah.
He did. He said
Department procedure, man.
Yeah, I know. But you know normally you have a second and then you go to discussion. Yeah. That's why I asked.
Did you get that?
What's that, Brian?
Let the record show that he did sound.
We have a second. We have a second.
I second it.
Okay. But discussion, right?
Discussion, questions, comments, discussion. Like I said, in the event, because if there are no resolutions or pressing matters that require us to have a meeting, then it should be tentative. If we don't need the board meeting that month, and you know this, I think the Youth Bill 10-year celebration is really important, and I think we should all participate in it. But if he's not going to be, that gives, for me, I say that gives the commissioners just a month off to enjoy their vacation, their summer vacation with their kids, their family. When I sat on the board in New York, we didn't even sit in the summer. June, July, and August, we were off.
Wow.
Because for that reason alone, that the summer was vacation, children were off. And considering all the pressing stuff we had to do, they didn't care. The summer was for your family, so they did not hold board meetings, not in the summer. But when we got back in September, oh, Jesus, we were really swamped and busy. You know, that didn't impede the fact that if something really did important occur, that they would hold a meeting during the summer. But
now, if we cancel a meeting, will we get paid for July 2, or will they?
Same. Of course, we get paid. You know, matter of fact, we get paid double, you know. Time and a half.
And our, said, you know, some of your colleagues take off either 1 month in the summer, and some take off December.
Yeah, I know we take off December usually. Yeah. We have a board report, yeah. But I mean, I think we do. But yeah. I mean, does our bylaws or anything say anything about it? Or
no meeting in December?
I don't remember. I don't have
like the year report and all
the,
of
the
that.
The bylaws don't so require you to have a monthly meeting. They say you may have a monthly meeting. I believe.
I just don't remember exact wording in it. Right. So that's always I'm asking right. that. I'm not trying to.
Commissioner Hall, I'd like to revise my motion and draw it back. And
no, wait. Whoever did the second.
Unsecond my second.
Withdraw would be a better word.
I withdraw my
second. I like to revise it.
You withdraw your motions? Or?
Yeah, withdraw my motion and revise it to make a motion that we cancel the July board meeting. So that we can all enjoy vacation during that month.
I second. Questions? Comments?
Well, I had a vacation last month, so.
I don't think we should say we don't do that to enjoy our vacation. I think we should say we just gonna cancel it.
Due to an obligation of this event. I mean, I would.
That's the only thing.
Due to a conflict with this event and no pending at this time, right, no pending exactly. urgent. Matters or something to that effect.
You want to change it again? Go ahead and change it again.
Nice. So, what I think you could say, and I'm a recommendation, is that, you know, the July board meeting, okay, is tentatively moved to July 24th. Should there be no urgent business, the meeting will not be held, and the 10-year celebration will serve as the July board meeting.
With the board package.
With the board package.
Oh, yeah.
With the receipt of the board package.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Yeah. That sounds great to me.
Yeah, but he can't make a motion.
I withdraw my second.
What he just said, I make that motion, okay?
No.
Okay. I'd like to revise my motion again that we tentatively change the meeting of July 17th, the board meeting, to July 24th, as is basis that we have a something major that comes up that we would have it then, and we utilize the youth bill 10th anniversary on the 17th as our award.
With the board package.
I second. Questions? Comments? Roll call?
Commissioner Pimentel?
Aye.
Commissioner Hall?
Aye.
Commissioner DeSassery?
Aye.
Commissioner Robinson?
Aye. Let the record reflect that motion took as long as the administration report.
And so we got paid triple for that.
y'all rolling in nothing.
They were sunshine. Exactly. We were in the sunshine.
Okay. If there's no other business, then I move that we unmeet right now and adjourn.
I'm second. 7:25, meeting adjourned.
Literally, figuratively, right?